That alone is a transformational message that we speak here every week. Because we live in a world that teaches us there are two powers. There's good and evil, and there are all sorts of other things underneath that. But we declare and know the truth, one. There's only one power. It is infinite intelligence. It is infinite truth. And it is present with us all the time. It is called God. It is called life. It is called all kinds of things. Whatever name you give it, it's still one power, as he just sang. So I want to welcome you here and remind you that such is the nature of this one power, life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I. So it is. So as we move into today's celebration, now our theme for this whole month now is you can heal your life. And I'll be talking about that this week and next week. And then Reverend Steele will join us after that for further comment and conversation on this topic. And so wherever you are, if there's anything in your life that's not quite working, this is the place to be. If there's anything in your life that you feel needs to be healed, we do a lot of talk. Originally, this was a teaching healing ministry, and it still is. So it's a place to learn, to heal your thoughts, to heal your emotions, to heal your actions. Because in that healing process, it's where we discover a greater experience of the world. Wherever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your pronouns, however you understand yourself to be and positioned in the world, you are welcome and celebrated because we know who you are. We know who you are. You are an expression of the divine. Before we know your name or your personality, we know that about you, so we can only honor you and love you because that's the way life works. Why would we do anything else? You're an expression of the divine. So join us when you can, when you want to, whether you're here online or whether you're here in person. We're eating together today, and you're missing that if you're not here in person. Just get something good for yourself later on. So what I want to do then is let you know a little more about who we are and what we believe, which is found in our Declaration of Principles, some of our... Now. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. I believe you'll find a document on our website, cshellmidtown.org, that has all of the rest of that Declaration of Principle, which Ernest Holmes wrote in the 1920s, and has still been our guiding principles here for this center since then. And we weren't around in the 20s, but once we showed up, and so you can learn more there about what we believe, what we teach, what's available, what we offer. I encourage you to go take a look at the website and see what you can glean from that. And if you have questions, contact us at info@cslmidtown.org. We will do what we can to get those answers out for you. Now, some of the folks on that video are folks who are called practitioners. A practitioner is someone, a licensed practitioner, is uses these principles to change their lives, to make their lives better. Now, they do that by changing their mind and healing their own lives while they're at it, maybe first. Once they demonstrate that and then demonstrate the ability to do the same for other people and support other people in their health and their growth and their healing in all sorts of areas, then they are licensed by our international organization, Centers for Spiritual Living. So today I'm very honored to have one of our stalwart anchor people that holds this center in space and place through her consciousness. And I give you Barbara, who's strutting right up here. It's good. You strut.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bob, for that wonderful and energetic introduction. I am certainly glad to be with everyone today here in the room. You guys look great, awesome. And of course, our Sarabalian visitors and guests as well. Dr. Bob spoke about this month being how we can heal our life. So this is really, really exciting for me. I was raised as a Catholic, and they teach you how to be a victim. They teach you how to suffer in silence. So this teaching has been a wonderful healing process for me, and process meaning that it is ongoing. So self-love for me is healing. There's always the cause and effect that determine what our response is going to be. Each day we are given a new slate. And on this slate, we are projecting the thought in our own mind. When that thought, whatever it may be, is projected onto that slate, that is the moment that we determine what effects we will be at. So this is the cause and effect. We got a clean slate, and on that clean slate, we project what thought we may be having at that time. We get to choose what that thought is. Oftentimes we have conditioned responses that was given to us by our parents, our friends, our loved ones, society, TV, just a number of places that we have gone. And now this is our program response. This is our condition response onto the slate. So we have but to look at the slate to determine who we are within. The thought that we attach ourselves to is the thought that creates our experience. If the thought is one of self-love, then we can know our experience will be a loving experience. If the thought that we have attached ourselves to is one of hate, then we can know that the experience we are creating for ourselves is one of self-hate. It is our choice. We get to choose. So the experience can be one of bondage. It can be one of self-hate. Or it can be one of love, one of freedom. For me, in taking the classes, I learned there was a neutral position that I can take. And in taking a neutral position, I am now the observer. And as the observer, I am at a point that I get to choose what experience I want for myself. And it was really empowering taking those classes here with the Center for Spiritual Living. At the time, it was Science of Mind. To know that I am participating in this experience that I'm having, whether it was a good one, whether it was a bad one, whether it was one of self-love or whether it was one of self-hate. So it was very empowering to know I can master what emotions that I have within myself. And this is what help me to further understand the cause and effect. So I ask you, what is the experience that you are creating for yourself in your life? Before I leave, I would like to leave you with a quote from a very distinguished, notable, esteemed, and well-traveled individual, Dr. Bob Dean. You can heal your life. You're the only one who can. What matters is that you can. Everything is awaiting you, your recognition, and your acceptance of it. Thank you. Now, as we center ourselves, I would like to create the experience around the treatment. So the treatment, again, will be for you as you see it. I will have the treatment in first person. Our treatment will focus on the experience of love. So as we center ourselves, we come to know and understand the universe in and of itself is love and love only. There is no other source of love that exists for us. It is the only source. It is the one source. It is the magnificent source. And us knowing that this is such a wonderful, beautiful, unlimited, infinite source of love says that we have for ourselves all the love that can, all can be, that does exist. I am love in knowing the one source that has manifest all things, including myself. In knowing that I am love, I can express love as a co-creator of the wonderful, beautiful universe. As a co-creator of the universe, I co-create the experience of love in my life. I co-create the experience of love for any and all that exists in this world, in this universe, in this city, here at the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown. For our families, for our co-workers, for any and all that we encounter. It is this wonderful knowing, the wonderful way of being in love that expresses love, that shares love, that gives love. And it is this wonderful knowing that allows love to continue to flow through me as me. And for this experience of love, I am grateful. And so it is.
Be the change. I love that song. It's a little more gentle than some of the other songs about change, because it reminds us that change is all about who we are, not about what we do, even though it affects what we do. But it starts right here with who we are and can we feel. So today we're talking about you can heal your life, which means how do we be the change? One of the things we've been talking a lot about among other ministers and groups within our national and international organization is that this teaching is not only about our thinking, change your thinking, change your life, but that word thinking is intended to be much broader than it has come to be used. I'll put it that way. We think of it. We think of thinking as strictly a head process. The truth is, thinking is something your whole body does. It's the head, it's the heart. So it's not only about changing our thinking, it's also about changing our feeling. Because the feeling and the thinking are so linked together that they really can't be separated. The brain, the way the brain functions and the body functions. And we now know that one of the biggest centers of feeling and thinking on certain levels, certain kinds, is the heart muscle, physically, not just the brain muscle. So if you're worried about your brain atrophying, it might do a little bit, but you keep your heart strong and it'll take care of your brain, because the heart's what's pumping everything. And there's more and more research now coming out about how the heart plays a role in our thought and in our feelings and in what we choose to do and how we do it. And then there's that third part, which is thinking, feeling, action. And that is, and of course, it's our action. You can't change your thinking and change your feeling about something without changing how you behave toward it. I mean, just think about your family. When you're feeling frustrated, angry, and not wanting to participate with them, that has a different behavior to it than when you're feeling at peace and love and joy and connection, then your behavior towards them changes. So it's, you know, it's pretty common sense and pretty obvious to me. We've always been about all three, but now there's a higher conversation about that, mostly because people have misunderstood what change your thinking, change your life is really meaning. It's about changing all of your thought, changing your consciousness. You can heal your life. So years ago in the 1980s, I came into this teaching. I was attending Sundays. I hadn't taken any classes yet. And someone talked about this great book by Louise Hay. And I'm sure most everybody in this room and maybe most of you out there have read it. I hope if you haven't, read it. That's your assignment for this month, for September. Not that I have any way to check up on you. Just in case you want to take on a project for this month, to change your thinking, change your life. You Can Heal Your Life is an amazing little book because in the first chapter, she lays out all of her philosophy and her thoughts about what she's doing. And the second chapter, it takes you through a healing session with Louise Hay as if you were sitting in the room with her. And there's stuff to do and there's things to say and there's a whole bit of the process. Well, I love the book. I love the first chapter. And I thought, well, this is fun and interesting. And I was doing a lot of driving in those days. I was pretty busy. I was very busy. I was working full-time for the state of Georgia in the mental health system. I was working part-time building a private practice in pastoral care. I was working on a doctoral degree in pastoral counseling. And I was raising a kid, and I had a partner. So my life was pretty full and pretty busy. But very happy about it all. I was feeling pretty good about it. So I bought this. Some of you may remember these. They're these little square things called cassettes, and they have tapes in them. So I bought a cassette that had the book on it so I could go through that second chapter by hearing it. And Louise herself had recorded it, so it was in her voice. So that was pretty cool. And so I had it popped in my car driving somewhere one day, and it got to this part about a third of the way into that chapter where she says, so the place to start to heal your life is you gotta love yourself. And I thought, well, that's no big deal. I love myself. What stuff I'm doing? I'm happy. And I think I was out on 285 zooming along. So she said, okay, so look in a mirror. And nowadays we would say, turn your cell phone so the camera is toward you. That would be the same idea. Look in yourself and look yourself deeply in the eyes. Take a few deep breaths and then say, I love and approve of myself. And then turn it around. Use your name. I, Bob Dean, love and approve of you. Well, I had to get off of 285 because I almost lost control of my car. I did not expect it. I burst into tears. Just all of this stuff started rolling up out of me that I didn't know was there. So I managed to get off, pull off to the side and just sit there. Fortunately, no cops were around and the traffic wasn't too heavy that particular moment. But I just sat there boo-hooing like a baby. You know, that ugly cry that none of us like to do in front of other people. That was one. And there was nobody else around, so it was just me. And that was the beginning of the change of me healing a whole lot of stuff in my life. Shortly after that, I let go of one of the jobs. Shortly after that, I went to work on myself and some other programs. I started taking classes. I started seeing a practitioner. And after my first session, Reverend Karen Wolfson was a minister here at the time. And after the first practitioner session, she said, okay, fasten your seatbelt because your life is about to change. And I went, oh, boy. And she was completely right. And it was all good. But that kind of change was such a surprise because I didn't know until I looked myself in the eye and really honestly took a moment. I didn't know I was carrying all of this disappointment, this self-judgment and self-criticism. Now I know it. unfortunately or fortunately, because now when I do it, I can't get away with it. I can't shut it off anymore. And it just comes bubbling up when I catch myself when I'm talking to myself in a way that is not loving, not caring, not what it should be and could be. So what that began to teach me was that I was loved and beloved and deserved to be loved. And so do you. Whatever your issues are, whatever's going on in your life, you are wonderful, the beloved of the infinite. I love it. Barbara's always saying that. She's like, I'm the beloved of the infinite. That's what her little phrase is when we ask her how she's doing. Well, how else can I be doing? I'm wonderful. I'm the beloved. You know, hold on to that. One of my favorite teachers way back used to say, I am the, it'll come back. She talked about the universe, though, as her sugar daddy, the big cosmic sugar daddy, and she was his favorite special one. We're all the favorite special ones. And that's what we talk about, is that this power, this energy, this, whether you call it God or spirit or light or life, it's moving through us easily and gracefully and greatly and perfectly. So there's an aspect of you that has nothing wrong with it. Oh, Bob, you've got to be kidding, Dr. Bob. Let me tell you some things. And you know, people put a lot of energy into explaining what's wrong with them and explaining why those limitations, they have to hold on to them. Nobody in this room, of course, nobody listening, but you know people, right? You know people who do that. They just go to great lengths explaining why they just can't do this or that or the other, and they never could, they never will be able to. When I was a kid, I used to say, I'm just made that way. So my uncle grabbed me by the collar and backed me up against the pine tree and said, that's a lie, and you got to stop telling yourself that. You can be anything you want to be. He didn't know about this teaching, but he'd read a lot of Emerson and some Thoreau, and was a good Baptist who believed that the Holy Spirit in anyone and everyone could change them into a greater being. So we don't have to hold on to that stuff. It's just not the truth. So here's the hard part. Life does not need to be healed. Your life does not need to be healed. You do. I do. We do. See, life itself is this given. It's the one thing we are all given equally. We all are given life. And it's such a huge wonder. It's the best gift ever. I mean, if you've ever faced possible death, you know how important and valuable the gift of life is. So that gift is perfect and whole and complete as it is. It's given to you fully and freely. So what people really mean when they say change their lives or heal their lives, we are really talking about something different. We're really talking about healing what we believe about our lives. I had to heal that, oh my God, I'm a mess. I was doing all of that busy stuff because I was trying to run away from those deeper feelings of depression and sadness. And they, you know what? They came up, and that wasn't a pleasant time for me. But they came up to be released and healed, and I don't ever have to go back there. So the idea here is that what we're wanting to heal is what we think and believe and feel about our lives. I love it. Again, Barbara, keep quoting you. You constantly bring us back to remembering that none of us are victims. Even though you may have been victimized at some time in your life by circumstances or by people, who I am is never a victim. Who I am is the divine expressing life as best I know to do, and as best I can bring forward at any given time. Okay, so where do you start with this business of healing? Healing, what we're really talking about is healing our consciousness. We're really talking about our whole cluster of beliefs and feelings and physical actions and physical sensation, which is part of the belief feeling thing. Your body moves inside of your beliefs and feelings, not the other way around. It's a great recorder, by the way. If you wonder what you believe about health, just sit down and listen to your body for a little bit. Look at what your doctor's been telling you. If you want to know what you believe, you know, this thing, this physical body is like an amazing instrument to take us through time and space on the planet at this time. And it's wonderful and it's beautiful. And you get to know all about it. And it's teaching you things about yourself all the time. So you start, though, with to make a difference. If you want to make a difference in any of these areas of your life, you've got to start with the belief in one life. As long as you're carrying around ideas that there's two powers, then there could be something truly wrong with you. Not just that you do stuff that's not nice or that you believe things that are incorrect, but that you are incorrect. You know, we used to say when I was a therapist, we talked about guilt and shame. Guilt is when you feel bad about what you did. Shame is when you feel bad about who you are. Maybe about what you did, but more about who you are. I once told a guy when I was really young back in college that told another person when we were in a prayer group thing, I didn't feel like I was even fully human. So much shame about things that had been done to me as a kid, but that I took on as if there was something wrong with me. There wasn't. It was all about the people doing it, not about me. It took a long time to get there. That's part of that healing your consciousness. So I don't ever have to step back into that place of victimhood. Ever. Doesn't mean I don't sometimes. Especially with some of the crazy stuff going on in the world right now. I can pick that one up every once in a while if I want to. But I put it back down pretty quick. So the first thing is that belief in one. If nothing else, a faith that thing greater than you can have an impact in your life. And it is always at work on your behalf. Not against you. Not making you jump through hoops. You don't have to be a good this or a good that. You don't have to follow a good set of beliefs. If you just have a piece of this belief that there's a powerful good in the universe, you can use it, and it is using you for your own greatest good and your greater health. That is so important. And so whatever it takes to work with that, to get to that idea, ask to be shown evidence that there's only one power. This crazy hurricane went through Florida, right through the Big Bend. I grew up down there, and that was my hometown, and we used to ride in that area. We didn't call it the Big Bend back then. We called it the armpit of Florida. But it's the Big Bend now. And it went through there, and it wiped out the little fishing village next to where I grew, right where I grew up. A lot of my relatives were involved in losing stuff and houses and what have you, but a lot of them weren't. A lot of them came through it just fine. And then it went across and up through Georgia and around through Savannah and out. Well, the rest of my family lives in Savannah. I'm like, what is this? We could have gone down that victim tunnel a lot, but you know what happened instead? I'm a Facebook junkie, okay? And I'm also a YouTube junkie. So I love watching stuff on YouTube, and I love watching people's amateur videos and things. And there was one of my cousins explaining all the destruction going on, and then there was another cousin, and then there was an uncle. I mean, there were just all these people. Once, because you know how that works. Once you get one, then you get everything related to it. And I got to see I hadn't seen or heard from. Didn't have to call them, which is good, because that was much better just to find out. And it just all flowed. One power. My daughter and I were talking this morning that last night we went, or Friday night, we went to a Jimmy Buffett cover band concert that was outside and free, and it was wonderful. And we're all up dancing to the grass, and the kids are dancing, and the old folks like me are dancing, and we're singing, you know, Margaritaville and all those great songs. And then yesterday he made his transition. Now, there's nothing special about that, except that those kind of synchronicities are what make me realize that there's all kinds of connections going on when I declare them and I put them into my life that just show up. And I can pay attention to the connections, the synchronicities, or not. Either way, I'm having the same life that's still moving through me. So the second thing that we do is we start to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. That's number one. After you get some idea that there's a power for good in the universe, You know, one of the criticisms of our teaching is that we gloss over things. We always have the positive word. Yes, but. I guess that's just what the universe wanted me to go through. That's no different from God made me do it or the devil made me do it. It's just using different words. But what is true is that things come to us and happen in our lives to tell us something about who we are and what we believe and where we live. It doesn't mean it's your fault. It doesn't mean you're creating these horrible things if there are horrible things going on. But it means that you were receptive to be connected with it in some way. And in that receptivity, there's something to know. Not pretend it's not there, but embrace it enough to learn what the message is, learn what this teaching is, learn what there is to know about it. And then you can begin to shift and decide, do I still believe that? Is that what I want? Because we have the power to change what we believe and who we know, what we know about ourselves. Yeah. So we start telling ourselves the truth about who we are. In all of the four areas that we talk about here all the time, in health, the truth about your health. Right? Some of us who are getting on up in years, one of the truths that I have come to believe and I keep having to clear it out of my mind is because I'm going to get sicker. Well, that's just, I almost said a word I shouldn't up here. That just ain't true. It's what we've been taught. It's what evidence of eyes and ears may tell us. But, you know, I know some folks in their 90s who are doing just fine and aren't having a lot of health issues. But if we have that belief in it, if that it opens the door for these things to creep in. Wealth. Next week, we're going to talk about healing your wealth. Yes. And that's not going to be a talk about which stock to invest in. I mean, if you look on YouTube, you can find something about healing everything that you could ever imagine to be healed in your life. But it's always about the healing on the outside, healing the circumstance. Healing the circumstance does not heal you, and does not heal your experience. Healing your beliefs about it can heal your experience of it. And that's very, very different. The other area is love. Woo, yes. Huh. We all can use some better loving, right? Being more loving, receiving more love. That's an area to pay attention to. What do I really believe about that? Do I believe some days I'm an old fart and nobody could possibly love me? Yeah, some days. Or I believe I'm too short, too fat, skinny, too young to be taken seriously, therefore I can't be loved. I mean, all those twos that we put in front of it, those are just nonsense. We are love. That's what I love that treatment. We are love. Love is what one power is. It's not some magical thing. It's just simply love. And it's the same love that we feel for one another. We feel for the things we care about. There's not two different kinds of love. There were lots of names for it in the old Greek languages, but not in the reality of life and the way we use it. Yeah. And then work. Oh, now you're messing in my life. Yes, work. We can heal our lives where work is concerned. Or you can just work long enough to retire and then you're done with it. But how much richer to heal what you believe about it so that you have a greater, freer experience of that work. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So then in doing all of that and looking at it and telling yourself the truth and knowing something better, finding better ideas about all of those things. It's a lot of what we're about here when we do the talks, when we do the treatments, when we share written materials, all of that. You find that greater idea about each of those and all of those. And out of that, you begin to grow a different consciousness. So what gets healed is not life. Life is still running through you full speed ahead, letting your light shine like that video and music we just heard about, being the change. It's what we do with that and how we direct it through our consciousness. And our consciousness is our feelings, our beliefs, and our behaviors. I can believe in love all I want to, but I better not be doing hand signals at people that pull out for me in traffic if I say I love them. Now, I may be just trying to correct them and keep them safe, but that ain't true either. I might say that to myself. So we find the ways that our behaviors match up. You love the planet. You want to make change. You want to see the planet survive and go longer and bigger. It's going to survive. We may not, but it's going to survive. So instead of buying products that help destroy it, what about buying products that do? That's a behavior that can match your consciousness or not. That's up to you. You get to choose. So once all of that is starting to roll, then we can come back to this beautiful statement that Ernest Holmes made in the textbook. There's only one life. So if you're going to heal a life, there's only one to heal. That life is God's life, the infinite's life. It is a thing you didn't make, you didn't create, you didn't bring it. You just got born into it. You probably were in it long before you were born in this space. This life is God's life. This life is love's life. This life is the infinite's life. Whatever word works for you there. This life is perfect, operating exactly as it is intended to. And that life is my life now. Doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to everybody. But the part that matters is that it belongs to me. And as I begin to turn to that, then a lot of this other nonsense drops away pretty quick. How can I be a victim when the only life I'm living is God's life? How can I be unloved and unloving if the only life I'm living is love's life? If you want to substitute another word for God there. It's a pretty amazing thing when you really let yourself sink into it and decide and know and choose whether you believe it or not. And that's all we're doing here. We're bringing good ideas and letting you decide, does this work for me? Is this the truth for me? And if you're finding something in that that helps you, makes your life move forward in a greater, more positive way, then you need to be here. Online, in person, any way you can get here. I got to that once I discovered this after reading that book, reading You Can Heal Your Life. You couldn't get me away from anything happening at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science at the time. I mean, I was there every time the doors opened. I took all the classes. When I had taken all the classes I could take, I took them again. And then Kennedy said, well, the only thing left for you is to take ministerial. I'm like, no, I've already been a minister. I don't want to do that again. Well, just take the classes. Okay. Well, he knew. Many, many, many years later, and grateful for it. So I want to invite you then to say, there's another piece of this. I see you. I love you. I bless you. Just lost her name. Marcia Sutton came up and brought forward as a prayer of forgiveness for yourself and anyone else. And I'd like to invite you to join me now in just closing your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. Just knowing and going with knowing that you are in a safe space. And start to notice your breath. Breathing in, breathing out. And breathe in. Say gently to yourself. Put your name in it. I'll say it out loud for me. Bob Dean, I accept you. Bob Dean, I bless you. When you breathe in, Bob Dean, your name there, I accept you. When you breathe out, your name, I accept you. Just feel what it feels. And if what's mine is, I already knew that. person who makes you the most irritated and upset name in that spot? Perhaps a political leader. See, the truth is, and I invite you to come back down to the room, the truth is that we will never fix what's wrong by attacking it. We only fix by loving it. If you don't like the job you're in, love it until you love yourself right out of it. If you don't like the health you're having, love your body and part of it, including the parts that don't work the way you think they should or the way the doctor says they should. Keep loving them right out of it, right into a healthier way of being. Keep loving your money, the flow and the good that comes to you, not just money, but all of the good that comes to you. I heard someone say, every time you take a breath, realizing that's prosperity. I got a new breath and a new one. Celebrate all of it. Because it's wonderful. This life is wonderful. So are you. Whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, and however you understand yourself. You're wonderful. So am I. So it is. Thank you. And oops, I just walked away because he always just takes over right now. Mr. Vance, our treasurer, our everything equipment-wise, who put it all together in about half the time we usually have, and here we are.
So all right.
Thank you, Vance.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Bob. That healing, things you can do to heal your life, being accepting of yourself. And that's why we come together every Sunday and for the classes and everything we do here at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. And that gives us the opportunity to grow ourselves, heal ourselves, heal the world in that aspect. So with that, we have the opportunity to give. You have the opportunity to do a one-time gift or ongoing giving, whatever works for you. And if you will, say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And you can use, and so it is, you can use the QR code or go to cslmidtown.org/donate, and that will get you to the site to do the donations. And there's a basket in the back of the room if you're here in person. So I will turn it back to Dr. Bob for some announcements.
Cool. Don't have a lot of announcements today except to announce we're about to eat. So if you're nearby and you just didn't quite, we've got food, join us. And plan on being here. We are here in person the first Sunday of every month. So we'll be here the first Sunday in October, celebrating and eating and enjoying each other's physical company. And we are enjoying all emotional and spiritual company. If you'd like to join us for a bit of a short discussion afterwards today, move over to our Zoom link. You'll find it on the website, again, cslmidtown.org. And join in and have a bit of saying hello, connecting with other people who find this teaching to be meaningful and powerful. One more thing. Remember, if you haven't ever read it, You Can Heal Your Life. You might want to look at it again. The other book I want to offer to you is one that we always teach, rather, in the practitioner training, and I think it's still parts of it we still use. That is The Principles of Healing by H.B. Jeffrey. Oops. Okay, thank you. I had to read it. It's an old book, but then many of our materials are older, but that's because they're so clearly written and they've stood the test of time. This book has some amazing and wonderful help in it for dealing with the whole issue of healing. Healing your experience of your life, not healing life itself, because itself is already perfect. Thank you for being with us. I'll see some of you on Tuesday morning, do a boost. If you want a boost, then do some spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Do that uplift for the rest of the week. And then we'll see you next week. Online, not in person. If you show up looking for food next week, we won't be here. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time. We're going to close now with our closing affirmation, which is, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you.